Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Bear It All. Here at Bear It All, our mission is to empower you to live a life of purpose and step into your power. If you want to reach out to us, our Twitter handle is at RSBearItAll. Facebook is facebook.com/3BearItAll. And our email address is BearItAll3@hotmail.com. I am your host, Dr. Raquel Stewart, and it is such a pleasure to have you all joining us today. First, I want to thank all of our continued listeners for your support. We truly, truly appreciate you joining us here on Bear It All every single week. And if you are new to Bear It All, I want you to relax, sit back, and get ready to bear it all. Now, today we've got a friend on the show, as always, Dr. Leslie Brown. We invite her on to bring a word at the end of every single month, and she so graciously agreed to do so, and we truly do appreciate it. We enjoy having her on. But before we bring on Dr. Brown, I do want to have a conversation just on some of the hot topics that's going on. And one of the main things that has taken place recently is the bombing at the airport in Istanbul, Turkey. So what they're finding now is the death toll has risen to 41 people. 239 people were wounded in this terror attack at the Istanbul airport in Turkey. The prime minister says that early reports indicate ISIS is behind the three suicide bombers. Folks, we really need to start getting serious about praying for not only our country, but praying for the world. We are going through some trying times, and this world definitely does need does need some prayer. Okay, so add the world onto your prayer list if you don't do that already, and definitely add the family of the victims of this terrorist bombing in Istanbul, Turkey, on your prayer list. And I'm really hoping that you do have one. Another topic that's trending, I guess, is any Uber drivers out there. And if you don't really know what Uber is, it's the new form of taxi service, for lack of a better word. So the developers of Uber actually developed this new technology to track when the drivers are going too fast or if they're cutting corners or they brake harshly. And what they're doing is this is done by monitoring the sensors in the Uber driver's smartphones. So for those of you who do access Uber, just know that this is what's taking place. And also, if you are an Uber driver yourself, you have precious cargo that you're carrying, which is the customers. Please be careful when you're driving. So I feel like it's been a while since I've been here and speaking with you guys, because I know I've had different guests on, and it seems like a lot of the guests were we had some people talking about physical health and how to maintain your physical health and stay in shape. We had one guest talking about addiction and the fact that she's doing amazing things in Georgia with an organization, Rising Phoenix. And guys, I want you to realize that if you have a passion, put your passion into action. Don't try to keep it a secret. People need what you have to offer, okay? Don't be afraid of your passion. Don't try running from it, because in all honesty, you can only run but for so long and so far until God is going to catch you and stop you, okay? So we really got to get to the point where hopefully you know what your passion is, you know what your purpose is, and that you are living out that purpose, okay? I do want to add one more thing. You know, it is summertime, and we do take a break here at Bear It All for the summer to enjoy it. So over the next couple of weeks, you may be hearing repeat shows, and it's okay. Just like the talk show hosts do, they go on summer vacation, we do here as well, okay? So I just want you to know and be aware if you hear any shows over the next coming weeks and their recordings, that's why. We're enjoying our summer, and we're prepping for more guests to come on, and we're doing some behind-the-scenes work, okay? So don't think that we've left you and we've totally disappeared. That's not the case. Now, let me tell you guys, if you are new to Bear It All, let me introduce Dr. Leslie Brown to you. Dr. Leslie Brown is a divorced, single mom turned faith heart coach, pastor, prophetess, international motivational speaker, trainer, and mompreneur who teaches women and young girls how to live on purpose and turn their shameful mess into a powerful brand message that's unapologetic and inspirational. Dr. Brown helps women and young girls release their fears, reactivate their faith, and resuscitate their hearts. Faith Heart Coach pulls its strength from Psalms 37:4 take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. After becoming a mom for the first time at 16 years old, divorced in her late 20s, and overcoming a major health scare in her mid-30s, Dr. Brown's life was forever changed. With numerous setbacks and triumphs under her belt, she completely understands that her purpose is to help women and young girls equip themselves with faith strategies and principles that's applicable for abundant, everyday living. On the first and third Saturday of each month, Dr. Brown teaches practical and spiritual principles on her live purpose teleconference call at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can definitely find out the call-in number and all that other stuff if you follow Dr. Brown on Facebook. And at the end, she'll give you all her contact information. So if you are interested, and I suggest you do get on this live purpose call, she'll give you the information to do so. But let me finish reading her bio. She's a fierce atmosphere shifter whose speaking platform captivates multiple audiences, bridging nonprofit, faith-based, education, and military. Her first self-help Christian-based book, The Thorns Within, under the name L.E. Brown, can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and multiple other sites. As part of her platform, she has been blessed to be featured on the Jewel Tankard Talk Show, on Impact Network, Blog Talk Radio shows, and the cover story for Celeb Locale blog. She's frequently asked to speak about faith, setback, and triumph. Join the inspirational movement and interact with Dr. Brown on multiple social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, Dr. Brown is going to bring a powerful word tonight on Purposeful Leadership 101 Kingdom Positioning. Hello, Dr. Brown. Once again, welcome, welcome, welcome to Bear It All. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Stewart. How are you?
I am awesome. How are things going?
I am well. Thank you for inviting me back. And I am excited about this message that I'm going to bring forth this evening. So thank you once again for having me.
Fantastic. It is always a pleasure. Now, as for those of you who are new to the show, as I said, the end of every month, Dr. Brown joins us, and she brings the word. So I am going to turn the mic over to her, and I want you all to be blessed, come with an open mind, come with expectations, because you will receive something. Okay, Dr. Brown, it's all yours. Take it away.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, my name is Dr. Brown, and I'm not going to be before you guys too long tonight, but we're talking about purposeful leadership and what purposeful leadership means in terms of kingdom positioning. So during this live call in Purposeful Leadership 101, we're going to focus on Matthew 7. That's Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, where we're studying a portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, okay? And that is where he's talking about you asking, seeking, and knocking, just so we're clear. This is where he's talking about asking, seeking, and knocking. And I think asking, seeking, and knocking is so prevalent right now, as so many of us are, you know, looking for, seeking purpose, or we're asking God for clarity as to how can I, you know, God, shift to that next level. When is it going to be my time? What am I doing wrong? How can I transition from this current place that I am in to, you know, to this unstuck place? Because I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of being stagnant in the body of Christ. So I believe that this is a timely word, a timely message. So he's in this message, on the Sermon on the Mount, he's strategically teaching his disciples how to receive answers through prayer. And that's the key. Prayer is the key. Very simple. And which is the key to you guys leading effectively in the kingdom. So once again, I'm coming from Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, where Jesus is talking about asking, seeking, knocking in his Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking about the power of prayer. So as purpose seekers and faith activators, you're going to learn how to ask God for yourself, how to seek in the kingdom, and how to knock when you're, you know, walking out and praying in that spiritual realm so you can accomplish God's purpose for your life here in the physical realm. Because oftentimes in life, we know how to walk certain things out in the spiritual, in the physical realm, but we don't usually know how to tap into the spiritual realm. And until you learn how to effectively war in the spiritual realm or tap into the spiritual realm via prayer, you'll never be successful here in the physical realm, okay? So I'm going to first start off with three empowerment questions before I read the scripture for tonight. So just bear with me just for a little while. So I have three empowerment questions that I really want you to think about before I hop over into our message pertaining to kingdom positioning, because it is my goal to help each and every one of you that's listening on the call tonight position yourself in the kingdom so you can lead unapologetically. Because oftentimes we want to start business, we want to write books, we want to, you know, be promoted in the kingdom, but we're lacking certain skill sets. And in order for God to trust you, and I'm going to repeat that, in order for God to trust you in the kingdom, you can't lead over people. He's not going to give you much if he can't trust you with the little. That's biblical, okay? So number one, question number one, what are you asking of God? That's that asking component. What are you asking of God? See, when you ask God for something, according to Matthew 7, and we're going to get there in a little bit, that's that prayer request. That's that petition that you're putting out before God. I'm going to repeat that. What are you asking of God? So for those of you who have paper and pen or your notes component on your Android or Apple phone, I want you to capture that question for me. What are you asking of God? And this ask component is the prayer. It's your petition. It's your request. Empowerment question number two. What does seeking God's answers look like in the kingdom? I'm going to repeat, what does seeking God's answers look like in the kingdom? Because, see, a lot of us, we pray, but we don't know how to seek God for the answer. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So the first question is asking God. That's the prayer. That's the request. That's the petition. Number two, what does seeking God's answer look like in the kingdom? And number three, empowerment question number three, what knocking methods are you using to test your faith? What knocking methods are you using to test your faith? Because in order for us to ask, that's the prayer. So we put the prayer out there. Now we have to turn around and we have to seek something. We're seeking that guidance from God. So what does that look like in terms of seeking the answer? Because some of us get upset when we don't receive the answer that we want from God. And then number three, that's that knocking component. What is the knocking method in terms of faith? So we're going to talk about that. Because when you knock on kingdom's door, that sound, the knocking sound that you hear, that's the signal that you're letting out into the atmosphere, letting people know that, listen, I'm ready. I'm ready to enter. Because when you knock on somebody's door, you're alerting somebody that you're standing outside and you're seeking entrance, right? You're seeking to gain admittance into a place. Or you're calling attention that, listen, I am here. I'm ready. I am available. So you're telling God that when I'm knocking by faith, God, that I'm ready for elevation. I am ready for my next opportunity. I am ready for my next kingdom assignment. So when we look at Matthew 7, once again, before I get ready to read the scripture, I want us to be clear on the three questions that we're focusing on tonight. And question number one, what are you asking God for? Because a lot of us are asking God for a lot of things in this season, in this chapter of our lives. But we need to get real specific and real clear on what we're asking God for. Put aside the foolishness, because there's a difference between asking God for our needs versus asking God for our wants. Red bottom shoes, that's a want. What are the needs? What do you need God to fix right now in this season of your life? What do you need God to transform right now in this season of your life? Number two, for kingdom positioning, The empowerment question is, what does seeking God's answers look like in the kingdom? Because once again, a lot of us, we're praying, but we don't know the signs when the signs are staring us right in the face, or what we need to do when the signs present itself. And then empowerment question number three, what knocking methods are you using to test your faith? Okay? So let's move along, because in order for you to understand what Jesus is teaching the disciples, we're going to focus on Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, which is found in the New Testament. And it reads, and we're going to start with verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Once again, the ask is the prayer. Seek, and you will find. That means that you got to get out and do something. You have to put yourself in position for somebody to see you, for somebody to know that you're there, that you're willing, that you're waiting on the opportunity. Number three, knock, and the door will be open to you. Some of you, you're just standing there, because I've ran across so many people who say, you know what, prophetess, or you know what, Dr. Brown, I've been praying, but then that's all you've been doing. You haven't done anything else. And we're going to talk about that. Verse number eight, for everyone who asks receives. So God says, listen, for everybody who prays, who prayed to me, oh, you're going to receive an answer. But see, but then the question then becomes, if God responds and you don't like his response, how do you react? And then I go on, and the verse goes on to say, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So these are powerful verses that connects you to a single transformative strategy. And the single transformative strategy, once again, that we're talking about tonight is called prayer. That's it. Simply put, it's called prayer. Because, see, prayer changes things. Prayer is your way of talking. It's your communicative way of talking to God. Prayer is how you sit and commune with God. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. Some people are stronger prayers than others. Some people can pray a circle around me. So, see, there's no right or wrong way of to pray to God. The point is, how are you spending your time in terms of praying? How are you asking? Well, how are you asking God to transform your life? What are you seeking in terms of the kingdom? And how are you going about increasing your faith by your knocking methods, by utilizing the knocking methods that we're going to talk about? So in order for you to ask, seek, and knock, you have to first ask God to transform your mind and get your spirit very quiet and become still. Because oftentimes too many of us, we're running around and we're not quiet in the kingdom in order to hear God speak. So if you implement prayer frequently, then these three strategies, ask, seek, knock, can strategically transform your life and position you in the kingdom. Because there are so many of us right now, I hear so many people asking me, Dr. Brown, what is my purpose? Or how can you help me to clarify my purpose? And I teach all the time that purpose is God-driven. Purpose is God-ordained. Purpose is not a goal. People have to stop confusing the two. Purpose is God-driven. Purpose is God-ordained. Purpose is not a goal that you can check off, that you can readily check off. A goal is, you know what, in the next 6 months I want to lose 10 pounds. That's a goal. Purpose is the thing that God has destined you to fulfill here on earth. So there's a difference. So let's dive a little deeper in this teaching, because positioning yourself in the kingdom from a leadership perspective requires strategic motives. And what does that mean? It means that in order to have strategic motives, you have to have a strategy. You must have a plan. And what is your plan? You have to learn how to pray. You have to learn how to tap in to prayer in order to war in the spirit realm so God can start to release your blessings here on the physical realm. Because see, a lot of us, we're saying, you know what, I can skip that whole prayer component and I'll just walk out the physical component And then we walk it out, but then we're feeling void. We're feeling empty. We're feeling like, you know what, something is missing. We have all of this stress, and we can't figure out why life is so stressful. Yes, Christians are stressed as well. But see, but when you understand the power of prayer, prayer changes things. So prayer, supported with faith activation, is a strategy. I'm going to repeat. Prayer, supported with faith activation, is a strategy. There are so many of you in the body of Christ that you need to learn how to activate your faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just because you can't see the evidence, it doesn't mean that God isn't working on your behalf. So therefore, your strategic plan for prayer requires practice and hard work. Prayer just doesn't, you know, praying every day just doesn't happen overnight. Especially for those of us who aren't used to communing with God. So what I suggest is that you get up in the morning and you carve out some time. And if your normal time for getting up is 6 o'clock in the morning, then maybe you need to get up at, you know, 5:45. And spend those extra couple of minutes communing with God, asking, laying out your petition, laying out your prayer requests. And as you go throughout your day, meditate on your prayer requests, seeking God for an actionable solution to your petition. So as we focus on verse 7, we realize that certain actions must occur in order for God to move on your behalf. And one of those actions is that you're going to have to learn how to ask, lay out your petition. So let's pause for a moment, because I don't want you to confuse faith with works. Because remember I stated that, listen, you're going to have to put in the works, and you're going to have faith. 2 James 22 reminds you that Abraham's faith and his actions work together. So in order for God to release that thing, in order for God to do that thing, you're going to have the faith, and you're going to also have to put in the works. Abraham had faith, and Abraham had works. And what do I mean by this? His faith was made complete by what he did. What did he do? What did Abraham do? Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. So with that being said, what are your faiths? I mean, what is your faith? Is your faith being activated in this season? And then what are the works that you're willing to put in? See, some of us, we say we have faith, but then we don't have any works. And Second James tells us faith without works is dead, and works without faith is no good. So you can have faith all day, but if you're not putting in the works, it's still a moot point. You must activate both. You must put in the works, and you must have faith. If you're going to put in the works, then you must have faith that God is going to do the thing. It's just like if you're going to pray, you can't worry. And if you're going to worry, then you can't pray. Then you shouldn't pray. Because it's almost as if you're functioning with the spirit of double-mindedness. So the first one, the first verb is ask. Ask is a verb. It requires you to make a request. This is your prayer. And oftentimes when you ask for something, you're seeking advice. You're seeking guidance. So your petition, your prayer request, you're putting it in front of God, and you're seeking God's advice on something. You're seeking God's guidance on something. And to seek guidance to effectively lead purposefully in the kingdom, you can't be afraid to make a request. You can't be afraid to make your request known before God. Let's think about Queen Esther in the book of Esther. Esther was not afraid to make her petition known. And not only did she make her petition known, her petition was clear. She was willing to risk it all. See, some of you, you're making your petitions known, but what are you willing to risk? What are you willing to put on the line? You want kingdom leadership. You want kingdom living. You want kingdom purpose, but you're not willing to risk anything. So I oftentimes ask people, are you pimping God? Because you can't ask and then not put in any works. You can't ask and then you just sit there and you believe that God is going to do all the work and I don't have to do anything. That's not fair. And I have a saying, let's play fair in the sandbox. So in order for God to work on your behalf, you must be willing to put in the work. So to shift in the kingdom, ask God for revelation. So for purpose seekers on the call, this evening. I want you to understand that in order to be purposefully positioned in the kingdom, you can't be afraid to ask God to increase your knowledge, your patience, your wisdom, your love, and your understanding. I'm going to repeat those five things. When you're when you're asking God to purposefully position you in the kingdom, you can't be afraid to ask God to increase your knowledge. We can't lead other people if we lack knowledge. Patience, because when you're working with people and when you're guiding people, it takes patience, wisdom. Wisdom goes back to that knowledge, love. You can't just love some people and want to work with some people and then not want to work with others. And understanding. So after you've asked God, your next step is to seek him for answers. And when you seek God, you're looking for something. Because, see, just imagine if you've misplaced a shoe. You have to go seek that shoe out. You look up underneath your bed. You look everywhere in your house until you find that shoe. It's the same thing with God. You have to seek God. You have to go places maybe that you've never gone. Sometimes God will test our faith and test our willingness in ways that, you know, is beyond our imagination. You're looking for something. You're trying to find or discover that missing component by having an authentic conversation with God. See, this is where you got to get real with God. When you're seeking his advice, when you're seeking his guidance. And some of us, I know for me, in the seeking process, I question God. And when I question God, that's a part of my seeking process. And I tell people all the time, it's okay to question. Because what does this questioning look like? What does this seeking process look like? When you, the first five letters of question is Q-U-E-S-T. It's quest. And a quest is a search or a pursuit of something. And when you're seeking something, you're in pursuit of something. You're searching for something. So what does this mean? It brings me back to my initial question, number two, that I asked you at the beginning of this call. What does seeking God for answers look like in the kingdom? So seeking God in the kingdom means you submit your resume for the job. So for those of us who prayed, we asked God, God, I need a job in this season. So what does the seek look like? The seek look like, okay, I'm going to step out on faith here, and I am going to submit my resume. You can't pray and ask God for a job and then not put yourself in position to be hired. Putting yourself in position means that you're going to submit your resume. If you're praying and you're saying, you know what, God, I believe you're calling me to go back to school to either obtain my GED, my undergrad degree, my bachelor's, or my doctorate. But in order for you to go back to school, you must seek, meaning that you must put this thing to the test. And when you put this thing to the test, what does it mean when you seek? That means that, okay, in order for me to see if this is where God wants me to be in my life, I'm going to have to register for school. So that is that seeking component. That's putting your faith to work. I'm going to submit the application. And for those of you, because I've had so many people saying, you know what, I don't understand where I need to be in terms of a church home. You're asking God to direct your path. And these are just examples. But God is going to say to you, okay, in a part of that seeking process, what are you doing? Are you getting up on Sunday mornings and visiting several churches to make sure that's a proper fit for you or a proper fit for your family? That's that seeking component. You have to put yourself in the action. You cannot just pray and just sit there and just expect for God to work it out. That's how you know whether or not what you are seeking will come to pass. Well, let me go out there, God. Let me submit my application to attend school. Let me get up on Sunday mornings and visit several churches and make sure this is a good fit for me. This is a good fit for my family. God, I sense in the spirit realm that you're telling me that it's time for me to shift and move from this job. But how can you move from a job if you refuse to submit your application? The seeking process is that you're going to initiate through submitting your prayer request, submitting your petition to God. And next, you're going to go out there on Indeed.com, HigherEd.com, CareerBuilders.com. That's the seeking component. And you're going to upload your resume, and you're going to submit your resume. Or if you're saying, God, I sense in the spirit that you're telling me to start my own business. Well, that seeking component means that, guess what? I'm going to put together my business plan. I'm going to put myself in position to speak with some coaches and to see whether or not some life coach, some business coaches, some graphic design coaches can help me create the vision that God is speaking to me. What is your seeking process? How are you putting yourself out there in the kingdom to make sure that that is where God wants you to be? Because guess what? When we get to that knocking process, if that door doesn't open, then it's probably not for you. See, some of us, we're creating stuff. God never told you to do that stuff. You're praying, but then, I'm tired of waiting on God to answer. So I'm going to make my own way. And then when you mess stuff up, then you're upset with God. So seeking God for answers means that you proactively position yourself in the kingdom. God can't use you if you're not willing to be used. God can only use willing vessels. So in this case, you need to pursue God for spiritual wisdom so he can accommodate you in this physical realm in terms of helping you to walk out your purpose in this season of your life. Because, see, God already knows the purpose and plan that he has for your life according to Jeremiah 29:11. And it's not to hurt nor harm you. And he already knew the purpose plan that he had for your life from the moment he placed you inside of your mother's womb, that you're not a mistake, that every one of you who are listening to this call, you have a purpose here on earth. Not everybody's purpose, not everybody's destiny is going to be on a mega platform. Just like Rahab, her purpose, her destiny wasn't a major platform, but yet it was history changing. The spies came in, and she helped to get them out. Some of you, your purpose, your destiny won't be, you know, a forever destiny where you're going to make such an impact. Maybe it's just going to be something small on a community, state, or local level. It's not going to be on a national level, and that's okay. So how do you seek spiritual wisdom? You seek God. My next point is a little harsh, but it's true. And I need for everybody to understand that don't desire more from God. Don't desire more from the kingdom if you're not willing to seek God for more. See, some of us want stuff illegally. We want God to give us stuff that we're not willing to seek him for, that we're not willing to work for. And in order to be positioned purposefully in the kingdom, you have to play your part. You can't illegally steal stuff, or you can't illegally skip the line for stuff and then get mad when stuff doesn't work out for you. You can't illegally skip the line, or you can't illegally ask God for stuff knowing that that stuff don't belong to you, but because you're seeking out of jealousy, you're seeking out of greed, and then you're wondering why things aren't working out. So seek God for wisdom, because you have to understand that in purposeful leadership and kingdom positioning, God distributes strength and wisdom. He will give you everything you need. If God gives you the vision, I want you to write this down. If God gives you the vision, he's going to make the provision. And I'm going to repeat that. If God gives you the vision, he's going to make the provision. I haven't seen now one time God has called me to do something and he didn't provide for it. Why? Because God spoke that thing. Now, when you're speaking and it's not of God, then you're going to run the risk of going through some things or backpedaling because you're out of order. So God equals revelation, and revelation is the unveiling of something. So when you're seeking God, and when you are purposefully aligned and attuned with what God is calling you to do, God will unveil how he wants you to walk out those strategic steps that we were talking about earlier. God is going to strategically give you the purpose plan in order for you to walk out the process in this season. Okay? So if you want to win big in your business, if you desire to take your platform to the next level, your God-ordained platform, not the platform that you created for yourself, your God-ordained platform. If you desire spiritual transformation because you've been going through so much in your life and you're like, you know what, God, okay, it's time for a change. Simply put, seek God. Put yourself out there. Get up. Submit your resume. Get up earlier in the morning. Commune. Spend time with God. Put yourself in position to drop some of those negative people that are in your life. Make healthy decisions. Create personal, positive norms for your life, kingdom positioning. You're alerting God that, listen, God, I hear you. And in order for me to get to the next level, I got to cut some people off because everybody can't go with me to the next level. Now, listen, I'm not trying to upset anybody, but I am on a mission. And when you're on a mission, when God called Abram, and he changed Abram's name to Abraham, and when he called Sarai to Sarah, and he told them to pack up, it was time to go, Abraham only carried what he could afford to carry. Everything else he left behind. See, some of you on the line tonight that are listening, you're asking God for stuff, you're seeking God for stuff, but you're trying to carry everybody with you because you can't handle hurting some people's feelings. And I'm not saying that, you know, in the kingdom that we should be in the business of hurting feelings, but it also in the kingdom, when the word was spoken for Lot to take his family and leave, he was given specific instructions, and those instructions were, don't look back. And when Lot said, listen, I can't make it to that mountain, but I can make it to this distance, what did his wife do? She didn't listen to the instructions. She looked back. So what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. See, some of us, we're so busy looking back. And then we get salty when God destroys the very thing he told us not to look back to. You can't get salty with God. You can't get mad with God because you decided to look back. You asked me. I gave you revelation. I told you how to seek out that thing. I presented the opportunity to you, but I told you it came with a contingency plan. And for those of you who participate in my biweekly purpose calls, I oftentimes tell you that purpose comes with isolation. See, some of you can't handle isolation, so you're so busy going backwards and picking up people that should never be a part of your destiny. You can't afford to take certain people with you into your destiny. There is a cutoff point, and God is saying right now in the body of Christ, some of you are going to have to cut some people up out of your life because you've been praying for me for stuff, but the reason why I haven't given you that job yet, because you won't cut some people up out of your life. You won't stop with the drinking. You won't stop with the smoking of marijuana. You won't stop with the fornicating. And God is saying, listen, I can't give you stuff because I can't trust you with the much when you won't stop with the little. When you can handle the little. You have to be able to handle the little. God must be able to test you with the little before he will elevate you with the much. So if you desire to lead effectively in the kingdom, simply put, you got to seek God. You must look around for answers, and his answers are everywhere. His signals are everywhere. I just spoke to somebody, a client the other day, and she was like, you know what, Dr. Brown, a lot of my friends, they're now dropping off. She was like, I feel lonely. I said, why do you feel lonely? I said, haven't you been asking God for kingdom elevation? See, we have to be careful what we ask for. Some of us, we ask God for stuff, but then we get mad with God when God doesn't respond the way that we think he should respond. He says, you asked me for kingdom elevation, so I took some people pulled out of your life because those people can't go with you to the next level. Those people will destroy your future. So Matthew 6:33, and this is coming from the NIV, says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So in that seeking process, you got to seek the kingdom. I don't care what everybody else is saying. You know, pass out your resume, pass out your business cards. Let's stop. Step number one, ask. Ask is equates to prayer. You got to first submit that petition. You must first lay out your request before God. You can't skip step one and then move to step two. That's like baking a cake. You can't put the cake mix, if you're using a box mix, into the pan and put put it into the oven because it will not rise. There are steps. So the step number one is ask. Step number two is seek. So now let's talk about step number three. Step number three, knock, is our last point. And knock means to make a loud pounding noise according to the dictionary. But what knocking noise, but so I want to ask the listeners on the call this evening, what knocking noise are you making in the kingdom? You can't pursue God and his purpose with fear. So when you're out there in the kingdom, because see, now you've asked, you've made your petition known, you've gone through the seeking process, you submitted or you've positioned yourself in front of the right people, and now the knocking is where you walk out on faith. You can't be fearful when the opportunity presents itself. So God says, listen, you wanted the principal's position. Now, I've given you the principal's position or the assistant AP position at your school. So now why are you afraid? Is that not what you were asking for? So you must persevere like Hannah. In other words, in 1 Samuel and 1, the word says in verses 10 through 11, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. Once again, that prayer is coming up. That's the ask. She's putting her petition out there, weeping bitterly. Because, see, some people will tell you in the kingdom, oh, it don't take all that praying and moaning and fasting and whatever. You know what? You do what works for you. Hannah, once again, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And verse 11 states, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So Hannah did a couple of things. Hannah, one, prayed. She asked. She put herself in position. Because what did she do? She went to the temple. So that was her seeking. She put herself in position. And then the third thing, the knock. The knock was, listen, now when the opportunity presented itself and she consummated with her husband that night, she made a vow. She said, Lord, listen, if you impregnate me, if you take my barren womb, because I can't produce anything, I am incapable of producing anything, if you fertilize my womb, because see, some of you are praying right now for God to fertilize your womb, and I'm not talking about with a physical baby, but I'm talking about with a spiritual baby, and you're asking God to fertilize your womb. God is saying, listen, I'm ready to fertilize your womb, but what vow will you make to me? Once again, will you stop drinking? Will you stop fornicating? Will you stop cussing? Will you stop spending all your time on social media and spending no time with me? Hannah knew how to put her faith to work by asking, seeking, and knocking. You can't give up on your purpose assignment, seeking spiritual transformation, or pursuing God just because things don't go your way the first time, the second time, the third time, or the 50th time. See, some of us, we give up so easily. And then we're mad. God never gives up on you, so why are you giving up on God? And that's why you have to understand that God will continuously test you where you are weakest the most. Some of us, we're constantly being tested in the area where we are weakest the most. Because God wants to see, did I fully burn that thing up on out of you? Because in order for me to position you in the kingdom, for your next kingdom assignment, I have to make sure that I've purged, I've burnt away all of that stuff inside of you. So we all have a litany of personal struggles we're going through or we've been through, and it's called life. And life is not fair. Some of us, we're mad right now because our friends are surpassing us, and we're trying to figure that thing out. God, I'm doing the right thing. I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm paying my tithes. I'm donating my time. I'm volunteering stuff. And guess what, God? Nothing is working on my behalf. And God is saying, listen, this is not a test. It's not a test. So in order for you to position, in order for God to position you purposefully in the kingdom, you can't focus on the negative. You must focus on the positive. And how do you focus on the positive? You do this. One, you must remain faithful to the process. And I'm getting ready to wrap up. You must remain faithful to the process. Hebrews 11 and 1. From the King James, reminds you, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So just because things aren't manifesting in your time doesn't mean that you should stop praying and seeking and asking and knocking. Number two, remain focused. Hebrews 12:2, and I'm coming from the Amplified Bible, and it says, looking away from all that will distract us. So we can't be distracted in the kingdom and expect to lead effectively. Focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. So Jesus is the author and the perfecter of faith. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted in the kingdom. So number three, don't terminate the mission without sound justification. See, some of us, we're ready to throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. We're ready to just abort the whole process because things aren't happening quickly enough. So leaders follow through. I'm going to repeat, leaders follow through. If we want to be purpose leaders in the kingdom, we got to learn how to follow through with the process. And just because our business wasn't successful year one, our business wasn't successful year two, year three, year four, doesn't mean that God wants us to give up. You can't abort or terminate the mission just because things aren't moving as quickly as you want things to move. And the last scripture reads John 14:15 from the Amplified Bible. And it says, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. So therefore, once again, we can't give up easily. We have to continuously ask, seek, and knock. So you can't afford not to pursue God if you're seeking to lead effectively in the kingdom. So I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining the call this evening, my Purposeful Leadership 101 Kingdom Positioning Call. And thank you, Doc, for having me once again. And I'm turning over the mic to you.
Wow. You always do that. And when you tell me you're going to turn it over, I'm like, wow, you can just wrap it up, send us out, send us home, put this baby to sleep. Like, there's nothing I can say except this. And as you were speaking, my favorite part was don't steal. Like, don't cheat. Put the work in. That I love that. That's just me paraphrasing. But what I realized was I wrote down the words ask, seek, and knock. And they all require us to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were talking about, you know, faith without works is dead. So he's asking us to put in some work, to do something. These are all verbs. They're action words. They require doing. And, I mean, if God is just asking you to do those things, like, they don't seem hard to me. If you want what you want, you have to put in some work. You can't want to lose weight and not get up and be active or not change your diet. So it requires work. And I love it. I just need you to pray. Before I say pray, if you guys want to talk to Dr. I'm just like so done right now. It's like, okay, stick a fork in me. But I don't want to be selfish. If you guys want to speak to Dr. Brown, get on the phone with her, ask a question, give a testimony, whatever it is, and you are on the phone with us, I ask that you press the number 1, and that'll indicate that you want to get on air. If you are listening via your computer, your phone, whatever it is, and you want to get on air with Dr. Brown, you can do so by dialing 347-855-8229 and press the number 1, and that will indicate to us that you want to get on air and have a conversation with Dr. Brown. All I ask is that you just be mindful that other people may want to speak with Dr. Brown as well. So just kind of, you know, let's work on limiting what we have to say so that others can be blessed by Dr. Brown, okay?
And remember, guys, that we're asking, seeking, knocking, so you can't be afraid to ask your question. That's that seeking part. You got to put yourself out there and ask your question or make a comment or make a statement. Do not be afraid because fear is a choice. So do not allow the spirit of fear to stop you from asking a question or seeking some type of guidance, okay?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Don't get robbed of information that you need, okay? I won't do it. I'll ask all day. The matter. But, Doc, you know what I found in my own life? Just a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month or two, You know, it all, after a while, just blends together. It was all in my spirit that I need to start going, making the trek to New York to go to church, to go to my home church there. And ever since I've had that, I've actually done something about it. I went ahead and I've been going to church. And it's just so interesting how things are, I don't want to say changing in my life, but doors are opening and opportunities are presenting themselves. And with that, I also find that God wakes me up. Like Doc is talking about wake up at 5:45. There are times I get up to use the bathroom, you know, in the middle of the night. And let's say it's like 4 in the morning. And God is like, okay, yeah, I can't go back to sleep. I need you to spend time with me. And I'm obedient in the fact that I don't sit there and struggle to try to go back to sleep and toss and turn. But I get up, I have a conversation with him, I read my word, and then I find that I can go back to sleep like a baby. So it's about being obedient to what he's saying. It really is. And if God wake you up at 2 in the morning, guess what? You get up and you pray and you talk to him, because you have no idea what doors he's got open. All he's asking you for is a little time, because I'm sure if your spouse or significant other or whatever you want to call it wake you up at 2 in the morning, you're going to get up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and have a conversation. If they ask you to make tacos, you're going to get up and do it at 2 in the morning, and this is your Heavenly Father. So he deserves that same consideration. But, Doc, we do have a caller who wants to get on air. Hello, caller. Welcome to Bear It All.
Hi. I'm calling in from Miami.
Oh, awesome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. I want to say woosah big time, because this when Dr. Brown invited me to the call, I knew, absolutely knew, it was something in my path that was necessary for my soul. I knew it. This asking, seeking, knocking, oh my goodness. I have been getting up at, my eyes have been popping open at 4 o'clock every morning for the past couple of days, and I knew it was nobody but God tapping on my shoulder, asking to spend a little time with me. And no sooner had I done that, he knows that I'm asking for things in regards to my business and in regards to my professional life, and things have just been falling in my lap, and I try to keep my mind open for his spiritual signals here on earth, you know, for me.
Right.
And, you know, I don't really share it with anybody or share it too much with anybody, because you never know who is for you and who is against you and who might be trying to pray, you know, pray your good things away. But for the most part, I'm speechless, because that word was powerful. It stepped on some toes. You had to sip some tea. It was good for the soul. And I'm going to shut up with that. So thank you,
Audra,
so much.
Before you hang up, I hear God say that you're not going to have to worry about people, you know, trying to block you, the haters and the naysayers and the commentators, nor the spectators that are sitting on the sideline blocking you in the season. Why? Because God says, listen, if he gives you something, no man is going to be able to take it away, because this is your season, Audra, to move swiftly. What I'm feeling in the spirit realm, he's moving my spirit very swiftly. And so you're going to be moving just like that in the physical realm. Why? Because when you hearken to God's word and when God tells you to get up and clean up your lifestyle, you can't be afraid to listen to God. And because you've been putting in the work, all I can say is get prepared for the doors to open. I've told you that before. Get prepared for the doors to open. And then I also hear God says, and the people who have put their mouths on you, they need to prepare themselves for backfire. Tables are about to turn. All right, next caller.
Wow. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for calling in. Anyone else in the time that we have remaining? Please don't be afraid or feel like, I don't really have anything to say. It's okay. Get on the call and say hey to Dr. Brown. Value and appreciate her and say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and being on this call and sharing this message. If that's all you have to say, then that's awesome. We're okay with that. We're absolutely fine with it. But don't miss the opportunity. Don't let fear stop you. I don't know. I don't like talking in front of people. Is anybody looking at you? No.
And I think, too, a lot of people, Doc, they are afraid to hear my prophetic, well, not my prophetic revelation, but God's prophetic revelation. You know, you can't afford to let the prophetic revelation scare you. Because let me tell you something. True prophets, we come to edify and clarify in the body of Christ. Now, you can sit here and miss your assignment. Because this is my show, and I know God, Doc has to get ready to wrap up in a little bit. But see, some of you, you've been waiting on God, and you've been waiting to hear what God has to say. Now, I don't prophesy, I prophesy. I don't open my mouth unless I hear God tell me to say something in the spirit realm. Let me say something from the spirit realm. So for some of you that are sitting on the line, you need a word. Because you privately IM me all the time, or you probably try to get in contact with me, and then you have me on the line. Listen, you don't even have to mention your name. Holy Spirit already knows your name. I don't need to know your name. I don't care if you make up a name, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I hear the Lord say. So, Doc, if you got about 5 more minutes, you can let them ask whatever needs to be asked.
We're going to sit here and wait because we're going to wait you out. And this is how it goes. God's sitting by waiting for you to ask, and you ain't asking. He's like, I'm going to wait because you're not getting this. Got to do something. And just to tell you guys, just today, you know, I told Doc about something that was taking place, and she said, you know, I hear God saying, stay the course. And I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't want to act like, oh, I know what that means. I was like, okay, I received that. And then the next thing was, what course? Because I'm like, all right, Doc, I need something else. And she was like, now you have to do, and now you seek God for that, what the course is. But don't be, that just goes to show, don't be afraid. Like, we're all here. We're all family. We want each other to be empowered, encouraged, and propel in our purpose. So there's no room for, oh, I'm afraid. I don't have anything to say. I'm just letting it soak in. While it's soaking, can you get on and talk to Doc? But, Doc, I love it. And let me just share with you guys. You know, I follow God. I've been going up and going to church. And, you know, I've got an opportunity that if it's for me, it's for me. I put in my work, and now it's just time for me to sit back and see what happens. I've done all I can do. And Doc is absolutely right. Don't be afraid to send a resume out. Don't be afraid to go fill out that application for school. Just don't be afraid. You know, there, we don't have space for being afraid. Because then you start talking yourself out of stuff. Don't do that. You deserve better. Be afraid and let that stop you from getting what is yours. Okay?
That's right. That's right.
So if no one else has anything to say, going on, Doc will tell you, I don't play that. It's like, all right, you don't want to ask? Okay. If you got another question or comment, feel free. Doc is here. She's available, and she's willing and ready to help or give a word. But, Doc, I will ask you to close us out in prayer, and I always appreciate it and appreciate you coming on. And if you didn't hear in the beginning when I said that, you know, we're going to kind of take the summer off so I can do some behind-the-scenes work, but I'll be replaying shows, and, you know, I'll let you know when we're back on live, but like the talk show host, how they have summer break, I'm also taking just a little summer break. Okay?
Okay. And you deserve a break. You deserve a break. You deserve a break. So let's just bow our heads so we can pray in. Father God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just give you the honor and the praise, God. We thank you for every caller who has decided not to count it as robbery to come on the call tonight. We thank you, God, for purpose, God. We thank you, Father God, for teaching us how to live intentionally day to day. We thank you, Father God, for clarifying our purpose so we can walk unapologetically, God, in our kingdom business, God. We thank you, Father God, breaking the yoke, the unclean yokes, God, of double-mindedness, God, for breaking the yoke of fear and frustration and stagnation, God. We thank you, God, that you know the purpose plan that you have for our lives, God. We thank you for your willingness that even when we don't believe in ourselves, you, God, have confidence in us. We thank thank you, God, for your courage and the strength that you pour into our lives and you pour over our lives every day. We thank you, God, for Doc's show being a blessing to the kingdom so people are able to call in and seek the revelation and hear a timely word. God, we thank you right now for casting out the fear in the callers, God, who were fearful of asking a question, God, or those callers who weren't able to ask a question but desire to ask a question. We thank you, God, that you're going to hover over them tonight and that you, God, are going to speak and whisper sweet revelations, Father God, into their lives that are going to transform their lives tomorrow, God. We just thank you for kingdom transformation. We thank you for kingdom revelation. And we thank you, God, for kingdom inspiration. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Doc. Always a pleasure. I love having you. I love having the word. The times, man, you convict me, but I don't say nothing to you. I sit there with that conviction, and I get into action. After I'm convicted, that means now it's time for you to get into action, and I do that. So I truly do appreciate and value our friendship. I appreciate you being a mentor and a sister. I appreciate you. Thank you so very much. To all of our listeners out there, I thank you, and I do appreciate you, and I appreciate the fact that you will allow me some time to just do some behind-the-scenes work, and you won't get upset that shows are not going to be live for the next couple of weeks. So I do appreciate your maturity. I thank you so much for it. And as always, your choices determine your destiny. If you do not like the direction your life is taking, make different choices. Have a great night, and God bless. Talk to you soon, Doc.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you for having me.